I want to greet you in the name of the one who is the giver and sustainer of life. And he also wants to receive us to himself at life's end. He gives and sustains life, but it is our choice whether or not our lives go back to him at the end. And recent funerals we've had, and also the passing of my mother-in-law 2 weeks ago today, reminded me that life is short. And life is a time when we need to be making sure that we're ready to meet the Lord so that he can receive us back to himself. As my mother-in-law left this life, I thought about Job. In Job chapter 1, it says, "Then Job arose." This was after he had lost all of his children and many of his possessions. And it says, "Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head." In other words, he was in grief. "And he fell down upon the ground and worshiped," it says. "And he said, the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And I thought the next verse was actually more significant than the two that I just read. It is proper and good that he worshiped. It is proper and good that he blessed the name of the Lord. But it says in the next verse, "In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." So he didn't blame God for not allowing him all the things that he had had before. And it's easy when we face the struggles of life, and it's easy when we face death, to blame God. And I know it was difficult for us to understand why Annalise's mother had Alzheimer's for 10 years. And she had been such a vibrant person before, and it was very difficult to understand this, but we were not to blame God, and we were not to sin in blaming God. Even a lengthy life like hers of 87 years is very, very brief. And there are none of us, unless we're over 87 years of age this morning, there's none of us that have the promise of living to be that old. Indeed, we do not have the promise of tomorrow. There are heart attacks. There are other things that can happen. There are accidents that can happen. It's interesting how the Bible compares many things to the shortness of life. And I'm not sure I have an exhaustive list of them, but the one that stands out the most to me is found in James chapter 4, if you would turn there. James chapter 4. Verses 14 and 15. The shortness of life. We're all in the process of dying. Someone actually made the comment during the last couple of weeks that there's a real sense in which we are in the land of the dying. We talk about being in the land of the living because of all the people that are alive physically, but there's a real sense in which we're in the land of the dying. We're all dying. James 4, 14 and 15. "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, ye shall live and do this or that." And so it's like a vapor. It's like a fog or a mist. And you know what happens when the sun rises and burns through the fog and it disappears so quickly. And the Bible makes a number of other comparisons. In 1 Chronicles 29, life is compared to a shadow that only briefly passes over the scene of life. In Job 7, 6, life is compared to a weaver's shuttle, being faster than a weaver's shuttle. Job 9:25 compares life to the hurrying messenger or the post who runs to take a message from one place to another. Psalm 39:5 is one of the most interesting ones. It says that our life is like a hand's breadth, the width of our hand. And even those who have large hands, their hands are only a few inches wide. And life is like a vapor. And what are we doing with it? And where are we headed? And what will we make of it? In 2007, when we lived at Kirksville, my mother-in-law came to live with us, stay with us for 2 months. It was the longest she ever stayed with us. She came a number of times here and there. And it was a very special time. She already had Alzheimer's. And she enjoyed it. She enjoyed the moment. And it was one of the last trips that she would ever take to anywhere because of her condition. One day we went down to the pond to go fishing. And she was the only one that caught a fish. We stayed there. A number of us tried. And she was the only one to catch a fish. And we took a picture of her holding up that fish and smiling. And she enjoyed the moment. But a few minutes later, when we returned to the house and mentioned something about her fishing, she said, "I didn't go fishing." She remembered nothing, even though she had just done it 15 or 20 minutes before. It was interesting how much she did not remember, how much she could not remember, but there was one thing that struck me that she could remember, and that is that she remembered how to pray. And one time, we asked her to pray at a meal. I asked her to pray, and after she got nearly done the prayer, she realized that she had forgotten to thank the Lord for the food. And so she backed up at the end, and she said, "And Lord, we thank you for this food. Amen." And it was amazing. Sometimes when she would pray, she would say this, "Help us to love you more and serve you better." And the children said that that was a prayer that they don't remember her making when she was younger. But only in her older years did she make that prayer, it seems, more. Not every time, but sometimes. She said, "Help us love you more and serve you better." And as I thought about that prayer, and about the ability to pray after she had forgotten to do so many things, I asked myself about my relationship with the Lord and about my prayer life. Will I be able to remember to pray when I have forgotten almost everything else? Is prayer such an important part of my life that I will remember to pray and remember how to pray long after I have forgotten something that happened 10 minutes ago? When we're in our younger years, we're preparing for our later years. And if we don't love the Lord with all of our heart, if we're not obedient to Him now, it's unlikely that we will be in later years. I know it is possible for the sinner to repent. And it's possible for a person who's lived in sin to repent when he gets older. That is possible. But it's not extremely likely. And what about my life? Am I preparing? I'm preparing to be the person I'm going to be when I get older, unless the Lord comes first. And am I preparing for that? As I thought about those things in that prayer, to love the Lord God with all of our heart, to love Him more and serve Him better, I asked myself, is it my goal to love the Lord with all my heart? And Deuteronomy says, "And now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord, and to walk in all His ways, and to love Him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul." And that sentiment is repeated in a number of different scriptures. Loving Him goes hand in hand with serving Him. Do I love Him more? They cannot be separated, to love Him and to serve Him. If we're not serving Him and obeying Him, we can't say that we love Him. Jesus said in John 14, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. And later in the same chapter, Jesus again said, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Do I love God? Do I love the Lord Jesus Christ with all my heart? Is it also my goal to serve him better, to serve him more and more faithfully? In 1 Samuel 12:24, it says, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. But if ye shall do wickedly, ye shall be consumed. Am I serving the Lord faithfully with my whole heart? If I'm not, I'm doing wickedly, and I will be destroyed. Again, Jesus said, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Do I love him more? Do I serve him better? In the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, it says, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And so that concept of loving him more and serving him better is also found in the New Testament. And then I found a verse in Revelation that was intriguing to me. You know, when a person leaves this life, when they die, we often talk about their work being over. They've laid down their labors, and now they're resting. And there is a sense in which that is true. But there's also a sense in which being serving him and loving him goes on into eternity. And Revelation 22, verse 3, speaks of heaven. It says, there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. His servants shall serve him. Service goes on throughout eternity. And certainly love for the Lord needs to go on throughout eternity. If I don't love him more and serve him better now, I will never have that experience in eternity. Do you love the Lord God with all your heart? Have you surrendered your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Are you determined with all your heart to love him more and serve him better? The Bible says today is the day of salvation. And death, the prospect of death, should remind us that we all need to be ready to meet him before it's eternally too late. I thought about a hymn that contains the phrase, I want to love him more. It's number 374 in your Christian hymnal. 374. I want to love him more. And the song also implies serving him. And I'd like for us to sing that song together. Could someone start it for me?
There is a story ever new. I'll tell it o'er and o'er. How Jesus gave his life for me. I want to love him more. I want to love him more. I want to love him more. He did so very much for me. I want to love him. Of life, yet as a babe he came in days of yore to bring goodwill and peace to men. I want to love him more. I want to love him more. I want to love him more. He did so very much for me. I want to love him more. Story ever sweeter grows. How on the cross he bore my sins, and by his stripes I'm healed. I want to love him more. I want to love him. So very much for me, I want to love him more. Oh, how he suffered on the tree, no love like that before. I know and feel I love him yet. I want to love him more. I want to love him more. I want to love him more. He did so very